Well, I don't have an incredible a lot for tonight. We're basically just picking up our investigation work from last time, down a couple of people, but we'll roll with that. So we are at session 4 to our Dresden Files Alaska campaign and playing Watley.
It is me, Logos, also known as Nicholas. I am playing Wilbur Watley, who is a descendant of the Watley clan here in the great state of Alaska, seeking to find some information out about what was written in his grandfather's journal. Surely it was just bunnies and helpful things.
Surely. And playing Lorenzo Hilo.
This is Thomas Lorenzo Hilo. Works for the police and certain other factions in town. And is currently part of the deal with weird stuff part of the Alaska PD. The Civic Juno PD. Yeah.
And if Stephen can both hear and speak.
I did lose the ability to speak a moment ago, but let's see now. I'm playing Paul Huns, outdoorsman extraordinaire, and supernatural hitman.
Nice. All right, so last time, let's give a quick rundown of information you guys found. Logos, you want to start it off?
Yes, we were dealing with the outcome of us apparently burning down a trailer park. Go us. So we started the game in media res, where with that, and I saw a reporter in the distance, went to go talk with him for a bit. And whilst we were talking with him, the real police were coming, or the fire department or whatnot. I decided to leave and let the actual police officer deal with this kind of stuff. Didn't want, you know, any weird things going on. Whilst the two other members of our party escorted the fine reporter out of the vicinity. And we all met back up after dealing with the outcome of that. And the reporter was for some rag, you know, supernatural, like, oh, you know, Elvis's 71st birthday or some stuff like that. So I didn't feel the need to make him disappear permanently. Yeah. And so then we met back up. And,
let's pause you there and say, James, do you want to pick up from there?
Well, I don't know what Nick was about to say, so I don't know where to pick it up from.
I was just talking to the line.
Just, go ahead. One thing, I did find a vial that was smashed. So, yeah, of the nasty goo that we think are turning people into the others, outside.
Did you find it, or did Tattoo find it?
Nope, definitely me.
I know Tattoo found something because it's in the police. We've got various things underway.
Yeah, it was
to
Tattoo.
Be investigated. And you were really pissed off about that. How dare you people try to do something?
No,
perfectly fitting that Wilbur would remember it as him finding it.
I found it. No, y'all are both wrong because I took the effort to look for this stuff. So I found it, and then I was like, oh, I need to leave here because the cops are coming, and I don't want my name or fingerprints on anything because I might be wanted for murders. So I disappeared.
I like how you presumptuously you're explaining all this to Paul across a table or something, because he was not here for this. Paul's nodding. Sips coffee.
All right. Does Lorenzo want to add anything to what went on?
I can't remember how he found out, but Eddie found out that there was a delivery of some kind at the docks because he works there, and had some reason something was suspicious for him.
I can fill in it, yeah.
So we had found that the that it was part that there was something weird about the glass being made, and that it wasn't, you know, there was something interesting about it via the rendezvous tattoo and the nice dream headshot. But that was after I gave
that's out. That's the guy who makes the glass into the vials, but it wasn't the one who set up the glass. And yep. The dock was something that was being picked up that you've got now a piece of wood to trace it when it does get picked up so we can find out where it goes to.
They can't remember what that is.
It was the claim. Right, okay.
Yeah, basically it was part of the guy from the nice dream said, hey, this is, you know, we get some special kind of material, blah, 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 from outside of the area. So therefore we checked the docks and Eddie found us this, this package. But we also gave you took one of the vials to be investigated by a bunch of normies rather than your local handy dandy wizard who is very, very willing to be helpful.
We went through the normal chain of evidence as opposed to bucking all the rules. Yes. Okay, right.
We murder people.
You murder people.
All right. Look, both of you two are sociopaths here. I don't know who you're pretending for, but it's not
for
me.
That's quite presumptuous, sir. Keep your accusations to yourself.
And you're assuming everyone trusts everyone else, which I would not lead to that assumption.
No, look. I understand that you two, you know, whatever y'all do, that's fine with me. Y'all are both weird folks, so, you know, no one's all happy. But yes, you did take the vial, and then I went back to the site to see what had seeped into the groundwater or, you know, to the trailer park in order to dispose of the vial that had gotten in. Apparently, it had gotten into some insects and was trying to grow weirdly, but not, like, intelligently. Seems more of an instinctual kind of thing, which was interesting. Yeah. Encounters at the nice head shop with the guy who makes the vials. We found him. I forgot exactly how we found him. You remember?
He left a note on the dock on the clay saying, "We've really come and pick up. Come and see me in a couple of days or something." We tracked down. Left a phone number. We tracked her down to being the last place.
Bert. I'm assuming you have better notes than we do.
You took a shard of wood from the pallet and tracked it once it got delivered.
No.
That's future. Future stuff.
But you did do that.
Yeah. Well,
there was a note on the pallet saying that with a phone number that led us to the glass shop.
Yes.
Was it? Oh, yes. Didn't you look it up in a reverse directory because the police have a reverse phone book like that?
Hmm. I kind of forgot all that stuff.
But that is exactly how you found the guy. There was a note probably from the shipping department at the wharf of who to contact about the crate. You did use the reverse directory lookup to find out who it belonged to. That led you to the last dream or rendezvous tattoo with Nice Dreams head shop right above it. Yeah, and there you found out that he not only the owner of the head shop, but he apparently is a glassmaker of some talent. And your companions, not appearing in this episode, were able to find that he, in fact, does make that particular vial for a particular customer, and that he had some that he had made that weren't up to his customer specification, that he was willing to sell them for $20 if they wanted. But he did not have any of the other ones to sell.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
So yes, you you were able to trace down that this particular high quality clay is being picked up by this guy at Ice Dream's head shop, and you're not exactly sure how that plays in, although you assume that it has something to do with making the glass that he does. And that's pretty much where we left it last time.
So why the hell? I turn to my sergeant companion and go, "Why the hell did I grab a wood shaving if we already know where this stuff's going?"
Because I thought the pellet was going somewhere else, and the woodshop guy was, and the glass guy was just someone getting it from this main, from the big bad. I thought the pellet was going to the big bad, and the big bad uses the glass guy to do the stuff. That we really attract the pellet to the big bad. That's what I thought was happening.
I also thought that, but now I'm re-examining that logic, and I'm wondering whether or not it's valid at all.
Maybe, maybe not.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
How much clay was it?
A lot.
It's a pallet full.
Yeah, they mentioned something like half a ton or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's bring Paul in. So what's going on is your other compatriots are being tapped for another service. All that happened over the evening. So let's say this is next morning, afternoon, whichever it is you wish to wake up. You find your other compatriots are not available today. They're being tapped for other uses. So the council has assigned Paul to you here. And again, this is not a first meeting. You guys have all worked together in various capacities.
Yeah. I remember.
Yep.
Yeah, so we were together when we first went to that
to the homeless place.
Homeless place, that was it. Yeah. We were together then.
Yeah. Yep.
So where do you all meet up after the council?
The Hunter's Lodge.
There we go. We're at the Hunter's Lodge where you're now discussing this. And now you can all do this in character.
And
we kind of already were.
Yep.
Paul was just recounting his tale about how he was down in the bayous of Louisiana just last week and hunting down a Voodoo priestess that had some enormous alligators. And that's what he's been doing lately and why he hasn't been around. But your vile thing, that's interesting too.
And neither of us are paying attention to you. We're just arguing about who found one.
Yes, basically.
And the Hunter's Lodge has given in to the newest group of people that are inhabiting Juno and are serving brunch, which Hunter shudders at, but he is doing it.
What did the council say? Do we get paid? Like, do you get paid? You get paid, Sergeant, right?
Yeah, of course I get paid.
Does the council give you do we get any benefit to this?
Oh, of course, yeah. The council gives you stipends for whenever you actually do things for them. But more than that, I mean, the council is your end to the supernatural community. So, like, if you need favors done, you do them favors, they do you favors. This is quite nice for Wilbur, I would assume.
I've been doing a lot of favors. Do not feel... I feel a little... I feel a lot of outflow.
I would assume that in the intervening times, Wilbur is being given access to all kinds of documentation, libraries, and such that he would.
Oh yeah, that would keep me going.
Yeah.
Also, the possibility of general sanctuary and not being turned over to other authorities that he might have to report to.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, he's on his own there. At least
that stuff doesn't exist as far as other people are concerned.
Yeah, but we're not dropping a dime on him either.
I mean,
I don't think anyone actually knows that he's wanted anywhere. So
yeah, feel free. See how that works out for you. All right, now
quite well usually.
Yes, I'm sure you pissed off a lot of wizards. Now. What, Sergeant, what does the council want us to do?
Stop this from happening.
I thought they called us to do something new.
Is Donna, it? You're still on the primary task of finding out who's distributing this, and why would be good.
Oh, I thought we were just doing that as our side job while we were bored. Oh, okay.
Nope. Basically, we got an arsonist on the loose because they keep setting fires, and we got to stop this guy. That's our story. I mean, just because we have to set the fires because of him doesn't mean he's not the root cause of all the fires.
We're calling him an arsonist because it always ends in fire, whether he actually started it or not.
But yeah,
exactly.
So, all right. Besides us going to... So did we get a description of the guy from the head shop?
Of the guy that orders the bottles?
Yeah,
you did, actually.
Unsettling. Okay.
Yep. What was his description?
Tall, thin, looked to be differently pale skin, didn't come from this area. Like, he had an accent, although the guy couldn't place the accent.
So tall, thin, white.
Wore expensive clothing.
Expensive also clothing.
Not from this area.
Oh. I slowly put the mirror down. All right. Tall, white, thin, expensive clothing, not from this area.
Yep.
General and expensive clothing or like three-piece suit?
I mean, to be fair, we were dealing
with... He didn't say specifically, actually. He just said that it was expensive clothing, but not stuff that people wore around here.
Yeah, we were dealing with, a guy from a head shop, so...
Yep. And the big thing that he said, the guy just made him feel like the guy was just creepy. He stared a lot, didn't blink much.
Look over at Wally again.
Oh. I shrug. Fuck! It was me the entire time! You caught me!
What we may want to do, we can go strong arm the glass guy to give us the details.
I'm going to cut in for just a second. Because Wilbur did this, you enchanted that piece of wood from the pallet to let you know when it's moving. It's in motion.
Ah! I go, aha! The chase is afoot, me old muckers.
The little shard starts to twitch like a cell phone vibrating in your pocket.
Ah, the pallet is on the move, gentlemen.
Oh-ho, the game's afoot, Sherlock?
Yes, that.
Well, after you got the coordinates, thingy.
Yes.
Let us go to the car.
Yeah,
someone else drives besides me.
It acts like a compass. You hold it in your palm, and it kind of twigs in whatever direction is the strongest.
All right, well.
So, Lorenzo, how much clay were you talking about anyway?
A lot.
How much is a lot? A ton? 2 tons?
That's
bigger than a bread box?
It's a pallet's worth. Mm.
So, it's not like they could actually weigh it, but it was really heavy.
and to be fair, neither my character nor the sergeant would really
care.
And we go, oh, that's a pallet's worth of clay. There we go. Other men move pallets for me.
Okay, so you're saying about, would you say it was a 4x4 cube, maybe?
Look, man. I don't know. It was on a pallet.
You saw it!
Yes, it was on a pallet. I went, that's a lot of clay.
That's actually pretty close. The pallet is 4x4.
That's why I used that specific measurement. So do you think this glass maker was using a full however much clay that was to make vials?
I just look at him.
I'd rather you look at that piece of wood and tell us where to go.
Oh, yes! Take a left!
So, You think maybe he made a golem or something out of it?
Look, man. I don't know
what this... Dude!
I don't know what this guy is doing. Do I look like a glassmaker to you?
Yes.
You need to get your damn eyes checked. I don't know what you look, doing.
You look like one of those sorts that would take apart a pocket watch, tinker with the little itty bits inside, and put it all back together again.
Lorenzo, do you have your flashing lights on?
No. Well, what time of day? It's nighttime, isn't it?
No. This is the next morning. So this is like,
brunch time.
You're sitting down for brunch.
Oh, yeah, brunch. That's right, yeah. No, I wouldn't think so because it's, you know, the traffic's not that terrible. We're not trying to be really obvious about it. We're just trying to track where it's going. I want to know where it's going. I don't want to stop them going there. I want to know where it's going so I can find out where it's going.
From all of the side corners that Wilbur is having you cut left, cut right, it seems like it's still actually on the move and hasn't arrived anywhere yet. And so you guys are running up Front Street, which is one of the main drags. Not oddly enough, it is the same place where Rendezvous Tattoo and Nice Dream Head Shop has a place. And you guys are sitting in traffic. And you do see like a VW bus with the Nice Dreams logo on it, several car lengths ahead of you. You see it pretty plainly. It looks like it's laden heavily, like its tires look like they're running flat.
So my fears, they have been realized in this moment. Well, perhaps they shall not. They shall go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you guys are several car lengths behind. Good spot to follow. And he does pull into the little shopping building that his shop is in. But he kind of pulls around back where it looks like there's a... At first glance, it looks like a parking garage. And the top floor certainly is that. But he kind of trails around behind the back. And it looks like there is like a... Almost like a small warehouse here. Kind of like what you would call, you know, the storage buildings where you could rent a bit of space to put stuff in. That's what it looks like. You know, it's got a whole bunch of roll-up doors, and this is below the parking structure. And he pulls up in front of one of them, and the guy gets out. He's smoking, and you know, he's just kind of looking around, fumbles in his pocket for some keys.
What's he smoking?
You're not close enough yet to find out. Smoking something. He rolls up the door and he opens up the back of his little VW van and he takes out like a box cutter and cuts the wrapping and starts pulling out, you know, cube by cube, these boxes of clay, and he starts going into the warehouse with them, or not warehouse, the little rental warehouse, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, you guys are just kind of cruising by the street. You can see this from the street.
Well,
go from there.
Storage unit, cool.
So, I guess all the clay was being used for the vials.
We'll have to ask him. You're a man of means and well-to-do, right, Watley? You seem attached to worldly possessions. You got a storage unit, too?
No.
Disappointing in you, man.
I have the feeling that it's deeply mutual. So this has proven to be less than useful. Okay, so we have where the guy's getting the vials. I wonder how many. Well, Juneau's a reasonably sized city, right, Bert?
Oh yeah, it's a big city.
Okay, so we can't just go to the inns and inquire from there.
I'm wondering if we go to the various people who run. The hunting mission stuff, because if he's here, he's still finding out about hunters and that. And we also come here before to scout area out. So if we go to various hunting places, they may have known of this guy. He may have come in to see their business and track the place around, and then also find out where the hunters like to go.
Well, it was a
hunter's camp that was attacked last time. It was infected last time. So
infested. Yes, it was a trailer park, man. Don't make too much of it.
It was where the hunters were staying, where a group of hunters were staying. So
I know. I knew those guys. Good dudes. Shame about what happened to them, dying in a fire like that. Me, I'm waiting to see if he comes out with a forklift.
He seems to be, he's unpacking the crate like one box at a time, and he's huffing and puffing. He's pretty out of shape, so, you know, he's taking lots of breaks. He's currently sitting on the back bumper smoking a cigarette while he's wiping his forehead.
All right. I'm going to go help him, guys. I pat them on the shoulder and hop out of the truck.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, as they make a round, you pop
so
out.
So I casually walk up the street, see the guy struggling, and I'm like, hey, man, how's it hanging? You look busy.
He, as you kind of surprised him, he quickly tosses what he was smoking on the ground and kind of steps on it. He backs up a little bit and he talks to you like, you know, muffling his mouth a little bit. It's like, nothing. Just loading up my warehouse, man. What are you dressed like?
Paul is an outdoorsman, so he's got kind of a checkered shirt. He's got a kind of a vest over that, blue jeans, some kind of boots.
How good does the clothes look, I should say? Do they look new? Do they look kind of ratty?
More on the ratty side. Well used. He's a guy that lives outdoors more often than indoors.
Hey, say, friend, feel like making a quick 20?
Oh, man, could I use a 20? Yeah. What you need?
I can use help getting these boxes out of here.
Absolutely. Man, what you got? I take a peek into his van.
Yep. Yeah, you see, he's only gotten like four of the about 40 boxes out. You know, they're all just brown paper boxes. You really can't see what's inside. There's not like any ladle, a label or anything like that. He's like, just need me to clay.
Clay, huh?
Yeah.
That's a lot of clay. I'll show you the place. Want me to grab a box while I'm doing it? And yeah, I do so. So I take the, a box of clay.
Yep.
And, you know, Paul's a well-fit guy, also possessing of supernatural heritage. He has no problem with this. So he's hauling this box along, chatting to the guy. What's all this clay for? That's a shit ton of clay.
Now that he's found the dupe. He's not taking a box himself. He's going to let you unload it. But the storage building is pretty deep, and he has put in some extra like venting. It looks like on the floor is a bunch of asbestos pads that are laid out. They're about 3x3 squares that he's kind of laid out, and he's got all these boxes of clay kind of rounded out around them. He's like, yeah, I'm going to build a kiln. I gotta remake these every so often.
A kiln?
Yeah.
Fire the pyre and stuff?
Yeah, he kinda takes his thumb and kinda, you know, points up. It's like, yeah, nice dreams. Right above us here. I do all kinds of custom glass work.
Awesome. You know,
so he sits
the,
down
the special
and,
glass work?
Well, yeah.
And man, you and me, we're going to be friends.
He takes out one of his hand-rolled, quote, cigarettes and offers you one. You can definitely smell it.
Oh, cool, man. And if he offers, I partake.
Yep.
Dude, you go through this much clay on just special glassware?
Well, he kind of scratches his head and he says, you know, not typically. It's like the weirdest thing, man.
Weird?
Yeah. Come on over here. And he picks up a broom and he goes to the corner. And there's several trash cans with like industrial kind of plastic liners in them. And they're filled with dust, right? And he goes over and, you know, looks like he had started sweeping up a pile. And, you know, he goes over there and says, Yeah, it's the damnedest thing. I started making these like custom vials, man.
Yeah.
And, like the clay. You know, I'll make a bunch and then, man, look at this. And he sticks his hand in and like the stuff just sifts out of his fingers like sand. It's like, I don't know what it is, but it just dries the clay out. It just, you know, it doesn't last very long. This is premium stuff, too.
Premium, right? So it's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your money back?
Well, the guy that's got me make these things, yeah, he pays for it all, you know? It's just, dang.
So, out of, like, that whole giant, I gotta schlep like 40 more boxes, right?
Yeah.
How many vials do you get out of all that?
He scratches his head. I can usually use the kiln 2, sometimes 3 times before it just kind of all falls apart on me. So 60 to 80 vials.
And these are tiny little suckers, right?
Yeah. He actually gets a little suspicious, you know, smoking the dope makes you a little paranoid.
I mean,
too. It's like, how'd you know?
I mean, you're saying vials, not like vials don't mean like flat hip flask or nothing, right?
Yeah. Give me a roll to placate him now.
I'm going to say guile.
Guile sounds good. Are you able to roll? Sorry. Oh, there we go. Yeah, 3 is good. Yeah, he kind of rolls with it. It's like, small little things. And then, like, the guy's got, like, an exacting standards for them, though. You know, that's how many that makes it through the process. I probably make twice, you know, 2 or 3 times that many. But, you know, the glass has to be perfect. The walls have to be exactly right. You know, I throw away as many as I actually make. But he's paying for it all, so I guess it's all right, you know? Heck, it's the best job I've had in a while. You guys still there? Hello? Hello, hello?
I am still here.
Okay.
Yes, still here.
Looks like Steven dropped out. Well, so in the meantime, yep. So yeah, he's walked over, seems to be...
rich people are crazy, right? I wouldn't worry about it as long as you're making bank.
We're going to cut over to the car for a minute, Steven.
Cool.
All right, so yeah, no screaming coming from in there, so you figure that Paul's doing okay. You guys doing anything special while you wait to see what happens?
I want to be turning to the sergeant and trying to figure out our next play. Like, I am sergeant. I'm a little lost here.
The best I can think of at the moment is that we set a stakeout on this guy and pick up the bad guy when he comes by.
I mean, yeah, but if we come at him, if we come at this guy in the middle of a crowded area, or, you know, even if we're like being super duper sneaky, I'm concerned with what will happen to the populace.
If we get him on a stakeout, then we track him back to wherever his home base is. I'm not saying we attack him. We just stake him out and then track him down.
Yeah, I just think that...
we can flip this guy to help us get a tracker on to him.
No, it's more, I think that we could... Maybe we could... Okay, so what else do you think that we could utilize to help us track down one of these guys? We have... Well...
But do I have a lot of resources in terms of manpower at my disposal, or is it just pretty much a couple of people?
If you don't believe that anything supernatural is going to happen to the folks, you can. But if you believe that you may be endangering your fellow officers, then no.
Right.
So in a specific respect, like, you know, you can request all you want on the SWAT team to come in and take down a drug den if you think that's all it is. But if you think people are going to be slinging spells and there's going to be werewolves around, then no.
Yeah, I wouldn't even trust the stake editor to the normals at this point.
Yeah, that would probably go poorly for them.
Yeah, and so we do not have a lot of people to stake out this thing.
Yeah, so what... Well, something I'm thinking about is this guy is clearly into some bad mojo. So as he is in some bad mojo, I know I had asked the police department to look up some records and see whether or not maybe there was a crime spike in an area. I mean, because we're kind of down to our, you know, bottom dollar here. You know?
Unless there's some other thing we know about the products we can track there.
Yeah. Maybe. So we know it's glass. We know.
There has to be these particular vials or whatever.
Yeah. So the goop they fills it with is probably not going to be a good place to hunt them down from. Maybe.
So are you guys continuing to drive around, or are you just parked at this point?
I think we'll probably just park somewhere out of the way.
Let's park at the... let's go have some coffee. The Heritage Coffee Shop isn't that far down the road. Ooh, Hearthside Books. ooh, piece of candy.
Yeah, okay. So you guys go in and, of course, the bookstore also has a coffee shop inside. So, yeah. Okay, so are you back with us, Stephen?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, he's talking about this weirdness that's going on, and he's like, yeah, here, take a look at this. And he goes over to some canvas that's covering, which you find out is a table, which he pulls back. He's like, yeah, I got to keep the dust off this stuff. And he pats this box on his left-hand side, and he opens it up, and there are glass rods in there. Each rod is about 3 inches thick and maybe 3 feet long. He says, yeah, he provides me with the stock. And then this is the weirdest thing, man. You got to check this out. He pulls out this metal suitcase, and he says, like, yeah, I got to turn the light off for this. I just got to follow his instructions. He seems to know when I don't. So he turns off the lights, and he lights a little candle that's on the bench there. He pulls out this little suitcase, and it glitters in the candlelight. Like, it looks like it's aluminum, but you could swear that that's silver inlaid in it. And there's some really weird characters that are stamped into it that really are highlighted by the candlelight. And he takes a key off of his, he's got a chain around his neck. He takes the key off, it opens up the box. He's like, yeah, here's my next load for him. I got 60 for him this time. He turns it around so you can see. And it's like the inside of the box is lined with foam. And each vial is kind of pressed into the foam so that they won't jostle around. It looks like the box has enough room for about 100. He's got like 60 in there. These are like the most intricate work I've ever done, man. Look how small they are. He puts on a plastic glove and he pulls one out. And yeah, it looks exactly like the vials you've been seeing at the different crime scenes.
They're just clear glass.
Yeah,
or do they although
they
little...
really they refract in the candlelight. They refract more than you would expect. So like, you know, it breaks into rainbow patterns and it swirls with color. But you know, if he holds it still, it's just clear glass.
Whoa, dude! Is it the grass that I partook of, or is that reflecting light?
No, it's glass, man. It's got a high concentration of I don't know. It's got some minerals in it or something that causes that refraction.
Whoa. Have you ever tried smoking some top rate out of it? No.
He's like, yeah, man, I made a bong out of my castovers. You know, sometimes it's subpar work and he won't take it, so I melt it back down. I made this killer bong, man. I call it Bongzilla.
How does it do, man? Does it work great?
Oh, it's incredible. Hey, you little ball watcher, man. I come by the shop after hours, you know, we put on the game and I bring out Bongzilla for the guys. It's awesome.
Hey, it depends on what ball you're talking about.
Oh, football, man.
Oh, man, I love football.
All right. Well, this Sunday.
What's your team?
It just depends. We sometimes bet here and there. I ain't got a particular team I back. You know, I look at the stats, I follow the news, and, you know, I do pretty good. Good.
I have a good feeling about the 49ers, just saying.
Oh, all right, all right. He kind of nods. Oh, yeah, open invitation, man. We just ask that everybody bring a six-pack of something. Doesn't matter, like beer, you can, you know. Cider, some people bring cider, that's cool, you know, whatever you want. Bring a six pack of something and some munchies to share. There's usually a good, you know, half dozen to a dozen of us, depending.
Maybe I'll bring some just regular old Coke and then some rum.
he stops for a minute. It's like, oh, hey, wait, you're not a cop, are you, man? I gotta ask, you gotta tell me if you're a cop.
Oh, man, I ain't a cop.
Awesome.
What I am, I'm a hunter of the world. I travel all over. Just recently, I was down in Louisiana on a job, you know, hunting alligators.
We'll cut scenes. Wanna hear me that as you go into your story? Yes, which he is far into because he's doped to the gills. All right, Steven, is there anything else you want out of the scene? You found out that he does actually have a supply ready to go for the buyer.
I am hoping to filch one of his cast-offs, the ones that don't meet spec.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Give me a roll. Something appropriately dex-like. So what is that, a 4?
Did he die again?
Oh.
I just can't. He's got like 2 rolls on the screen there. I'm not sure if that was a roll or...
Well, that 4 was a new roll.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, he dropped. So, right. Technical difficulties tonight, folks.
Okay. Yay!
Sounds like you returned.
Steven, you there?
Oh, well.
All right.
Oh, well, but we'll I love it when we'll the civilians eventually come out.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I love when civilians think that police have to tell you when they're a cop.
It is one of the more amusing things that I don't know how your kind has gotten that into Americans' minds, but you have. Congratulations, sir. Congratulations.
Television.
I've heard it on every coast. I thought
every
you had
time
to
I roll, I get disconnected.
Don't you have to tell us that you're a cop?
Can you hear us now?
No? Yes.
Yeah.
Steven, you did successfully filch one, and we're going to say some time goes by. You get paid your $20. You have an open invitation. Come on up and enjoy the
I also get his name. What is his name?
Yeah, I'm going to stick a file on that because I'm looking back at my notes, and I know I gave the guy a name, but I don't have it written out. So he is the guy for now. I'll have to go back and listen.
We'll probably refer to him as the dude.
There we go. That's perfectly fine.
Glass dude. All right.
So you guys sitting over in the bookshop, coffee shop, whichever you decided on, we'll eventually see Paul stumble out.
So Did you have any thoughts on what we can do besides stake out the pothead?
I said other than get him. He did tell Tattoo and Eddie that he has the phone number for the guy. So if we get that phone number, we can track that down. I'm just not sure how much I really want to go stomping in on him at the moment and potentially destroying that particular avenue of access.
Yeah. I think going in there, guns a-blazing, will end poorly for us.
Did Tattoo get the number?
The number for, sorry?
The bad guy. Because didn't Tattoo at some point say, I want to get heavy-duty drugs?
Huh.
I mean, you're simply saying no.
Yeah, I'm gonna say not yet. It hasn't been able to find out that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you can somehow get the phone number out, it gives us somewhere to go. Are there telephone records existing in this world?
Not really, because at this time, a lot of this is all analog switching, so no.
Okay.
What did phone bills look like back then?
It's just one rate. If you're making international calls, it's handled through an operator that is able to charge you for the time that you're online. But everything elsewise is analog switching, so no way of digitally collecting information.
Yeah, other than just talking to various contacts around and saying, hey, there's a creepy guy come by and talk to you. Not immediately thinking of another access point into any of this.
Okay. I just feel like we're being silly. Like,
I could go ask Lieutenant, but I don't want to feel like I keep going to Bird and saying, what's our next clue?
I get you. It's just, I think, sadly.
Yeah, I feel like there's something that we're missing, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm missing it, so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's life. Doesn't always work out the
way. So I track these chuckleheads down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably not the hardest bit of detective work that you've ever done. We're at the coffee shop.
Yes, Paul reeks of weed.
Ah. I see you've been spending your time welly. Welly.
Absolutely. We could just go to the Juno Drug Company and see what they know. That sounds like a likely place to bust.
And I say, yes, I did. And I produce the glass vial. And I hand it over to the wizard.
Yeah. Yeah, we have one.
No, actually, this is not a glass vial. This is you said you grabbed a discard. Being able to actually grab one of those special ones would have been dang near. This is one that did not end up being perfect, and you were able to grab one from that pile.
This is one of them imperfect ones. So he's got specific specs on them. And, yeah, he is using all that clay for these vials. Just... a lot of them are just failing straight out. It's weird. So I'm imagining some mystic kudu is going on in that kiln because he has to build new kilns too, which sounds completely bonkers. What breaks a kiln when they're being fired?
Oh, and a bit of Alaska trivia knowledge in 1984. Cannabis was not illegal. It had been decriminalized in 1975 and then legalized a week later. And then in 1982, there were loose penalties for basically doing it in public, which is what he was edgy about. They come under morality laws at that point, but they don't come under the harsh drug laws.
Mm.
Not until 1990.
So...
I don't have to arrest you just yet. Give me a couple of years.
Paul is unworried about any sort of incarceration.
So, all right. I look at one of the good vials. seeking deeper insight and knowledge.
Do you look in quotations?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. I tell you what, give me a roll on this.
All right.
Roll to avoid seeing us at the same time.
No, yes. You guys are not. I am not looking at you. You are ugly. Yeah, four.
Four. Okay, easy enough. Interesting. This piece of glass here has been crafted in such a way that it is very receptive to, well, magic. In itself is not magical, but it is something that will contain and hold a spell.
Interesting. Terribly interesting.
Even in its deformed condition, you can see that it is not exactly right. Like, this would leak over time, and you expect if it were formed in its truest image, it would not. But think of it like a battery, right? And so this is a really crappy one there. You charge it up, and it would leak probably relatively quickly. But you can see what the design goal was.
Gotcha. Okay. Any particular type of mystic energy that's gathering?
Or just... Now again, it in itself isn't magical.
Okay, right, right, yeah. Right. I got you. But I just didn't know whether or not it was going to hold certain types of stuff.
It seems to be...
Would he get any insight on why it's taking so much clay?
Well, other than its formulation is pretty precise. I mean, the crystalline structure is holding all kinds of minerals and other things in there that are just highly conductive to, well, holding mystical energies.
All right.
It's interesting because normally this is only found natural. Like, there are certain gemstones that have this natural ability. It's almost never found in a crafted work like this.
Right. So I am dealing, or I would just as a reasonable suspicion, that I am very potentially dealing with one of the wise.
Yes.
I am not dealing with somebody who just happened to read the wrong book and go, Cthulhu! I'm dealing with someone who is with malice aforethought, basically.
Well, if a lay glass blower was given detailed enough instructions to create something like this,
oh yeah, yeah, but
the person who gave him those instructions has to be pretty knowledgeable.
Ah, okay. I will say
you should also be impressed by that glass worker.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, it appears that our culprit is one of the wise. Which is troubling.
Didn't we already suspect that?
Dealing with these forces.
No, I did not suspect that it was necessarily one of the wise. But most cases of this nature are merely someone who has read a book and they are spreading the knowledge. They have opened a doorway that they can't shut. This is something more than that. This is something much bigger.
Potentially, is it somebody that's the wise or, you know, somebody that's gotten too deep and sort of got consumed?
Well, someone knows what they're doing. This is not the pattern of a fool. This is a pattern of one who knows. So,
yeah, and you humans aren't, you humans, I guess I should include myself in that, aren't, you know, you don't have a monopoly on knowledge.
Typically, the Fae are not, shall we say, master craftsmen. Their works fade with the rising of the sun. They do not build cities. They are...
I guess you've never been to Tir na n'Og.
The Fae, my good sir, have built one city in 10,000 years. That's not something that you go and...
Arctosaur.
Two? I'm sorry, two.
Ar- I can keep this up.
Yes,
you just know that.
They built.
I've been to them. I don't think you don't travel much, do you?
Clearly not. I'm in Alaska, the place of my birth. So.
Oh, yes, Alaska's that much of travel, he chuckled.
I turned to the sergeant. So, we are dealing with someone who knows. One of the wise, more than likely, or someone who has had some training and knowledge. Someone who can pass for a human, at least.
So does this mean you're going to tell your wardens?
I think it is a little early for that. Perhaps when we have more secured info.
So how does that help us track him down?
Well, we know that whenever we deal with him, that we need to be far more cautious than we would with something else. I would not look into his eyes. That would be a poor thing. And if we do get the drop on him, make sure he can't speak or make hand motions.
You know, I always thought hand motions weren't strictly necessary.
I smile. So, it would be wise to take a look and see at what the base model is, simply so that I can see what type of magic that we're dealing with.
Would this kind of magic have any effect?
Yes, it will leak out.
So you could potentially see what locations have been rented out recently or bought that aren't in the middle of town, because they'd probably, if it was in the middle of town, it'd be more noticeable.
Yeah, it likely not in town.
Well,
but who knows?
I will point out one other facet of my investigation. Our friend, the glassmaker, has recently completed enough of an order for pickup, so the guy should be coming by to pick it up soon.
Yeah, we could stake it out.
That would involve stakeout, but a lot of police work is also just checking paperwork and tracking down leads. And at this point, someone has to check down paperwork.
Yeah.
So well, if the two of you would like to do the stakeout, then I can go start on the police records.
Please no.
Hey, it's just a hunter's blind of another nature. No problem for a good old Paul.
Oh. Okay, well, I guess.
Unless you've got contacts you can talk to.
I will hit up some bookshops. Maybe this guy is feeling the need to discuss certain things. We are a talkative bunch. Away!
Well, may also need to get supplies of some kind. So. So, okay, you go check that. Wilbur's off to check his contacts. I'm off to check, track down various things about recent rentals and stuff. And Paul's going to stay here and keep an eye out for a creepy guy turning up. We split the party, Bert.
Yes.
All right, that's fine.
Other than Watley.
Okay, so Paul's going to stay and stake out. How are you going to stake out? And what are you going to look at? Okay, because the head shop is not going to be in full view of the storage space, so it's like you're going to have to choose one or the other to look to keep an eye on.
Well, I know where the boxes with the vials, and that's currently in the storage shed.
Yep.
Storage unit. So that's what I need to keep an eye on.
Okay.
And my cover is, you know, I just go outside. I get a hat, a ratty hat. I start finding some local homeless. I go to a dumpster fire if I have to.
It's not a lot get a ratty blanket. Is in Alaska, because of the temperatures, don't get a great deal in the way of homeless, especially in this area. It's true.
We did firebomb the last. We did firebomb the homeless hangout anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to look like a bum that's on the street. Maybe.
Okay.
And go to a liquor store, get a 40 or something with my $20 that I just got.
Yep. Okay.
And yeah, I'm going to do some public drunkenness.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll get back to you in just a few moments then. Jameis, what is Lorenzo going to be looking up?
First thing, we'll go back to the station. Just let the LT know that Wilbur's saying we've got an actual active practitioner behind us, not just random person who read the wrong thing. And then start working on recent rentals and house purchases to see if there's something that looks likely to be in terms of, oh, I need a place to do evil magics. Oh, this is a good location.
Okay, what is your scope? Like, remember, no computers, so narrow things down. Like, do you want to do it just within Juno? Do you want to go outside of Juno?
We'll go with in Juno for now, because that's going to be... Because it's going to be in Juno minus populated area directly. You know, it's not going to be a middle of town type thing. So,
okay.
Looking more at the edges.
And what is...
And I'll expand if I need to. We'll just see what goes. It's a matter of, you know... mind numbing police work time.
Okay. And what's Wilbur looking into?
I'm looking into see if I could get plugged into the magical practitioner community and just see if there's a new guy who's weird and not me that meets. I'm not overtly trying to, you know, utilize this guy's description. I'm just checking and, you know, trying to do some talking, spread some money, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Okay, so I'm assuming you're not going through, quote, the official channels and going through what the council has records on, because maybe the people you're looking for would not be wanting to attract the attention of the council. Is that feel right?
Okay. Yeah, that feels exactly right. I
not that Wilbur would ever know anything about the...
I'm a member in good standing with the White Council, I have, you know. I spent good refresh on that talent.
Okay, so we're going to resolve this in reverse order. We'll start with Wilbur then. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to make this a simple investigation. Mm-hmm. It's going to take pretty much all day. This is difficult since you are a full-fledged practitioner, and lesser practitioners and those who know of the council but also know that they're probably doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing, and that carries a great price. I'm not going to be easy for someone like you to find, so it's going to be difficult. So give me a roll. Well, I'm looking for a four or better to be able to find that community.
Okay. Well, you know. We'll see.
And this is basically
I don't even know. Resources. They don't even know that. I end up in the Hearthside books going, magical practitioner category.
Right. I mean, are you happy with that? Do you want to spend a fate point and reroll?
I my chances of getting a success are so small, and I think I'm going to murder someone this episode, so no.
All right, good enough. Paul. The first time this happens, I want to know how you handle this. A police car comes and basically tries to roust you off the streets because you're in actually a very nice part of town. And you're out publicly drinking alcohol. So how do you handle it?
the police force in Juno isn't that big, is it?
It's not huge, no.
I mean, it's not tiny, but it's not super huge. No.
But it's not like, I mean, they're big enough that they have a SWAT team, so, you know.
I'm like, hey, man, having trouble with the old lady, you know? You got any advice on that? I mean,
okay.
I come back. I don't live in town anymore, but Ma, she's in a mood.
So you're trying to keep your cover then?
I take a slug.
Okay.
I embroil him into a conversation, mm-hmm. and ahead of its time, getting them to resolve the conflict with socialization and counseling.
Okay. Give me a roll.
Would this still fall under guile?
Yes, most definitely.
And since I keep getting cut off every time I roll, could somebody else roll at +3 for me?
+3? I got it.
Oh, I was going to roll for him. Come on, Bert. You know you want to let me roll.
I always roll badly for them, so why don't you?
It's not like I'm going to roll any different. Yay.
Did someone roll? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Dick. Roll for
Okay. I didn't actually think. Yay, you got a 3.
+3.
Three? Yeah, okay. That's kind of what I was looking for. So, yeah, he takes your sob story. He's like, yeah, okay, look, I get you, man. I tell you what. And he writes down on a piece of paper. He's like, look, this is a halfway home. Here, you tell them Officer Bradley sent you. They'll give you a night there without any questions. But you can't be on the street corner drinking like that. This is a good neighborhood. We're going to get complaints. Gives you a few bucks for coffee. He's like, yeah, there's a great coffee store right over there, Heritage Coffee House. You know, just keep warm, get off the streets. You know, I don't want another car to come by and roust you.
Bradley, you're a good man. You know, I sometimes do work for the office, you know? Tell you what, next one, because of you, it's on the house. If they ever need, you know how sometimes the special trained dogs aren't always available and they need special tracking out in the woods when something happens? That's when they call in me, you know? Because I'm a professional tracker, right?
he just nods.
And, you know, I keep the story
going. Yeah.
I occupy a lot of his time.
Right. No, after
but,
a while,
nobody suspects.
And tell you that he's
but
got
nobody suspects the guy that's being hassled by the police.
All right. But he did warn you that you're going to have to, if you know, get off the streets, don't drink out in the public. Other officers may not be so kind.
So I guess I move on. Does the coffee house give me a good view on it?
Yes, it does.
So I move inside and I start regaling everybody inside with very entertaining stories of adventures in far off lands because I travel the world with my special power granted through my Fae heritage that lets me walk through the Fae world.
And soon he's alone in the coffee shop. Yes.
I'm very entertaining and riveting, sir.
Lorenzo. You're poring over paperwork. Give me a paperwork drone roll. I'm thinking this is more stamina than anything else.
Taking focus?
Yeah, focus is fine.
Boom, 3.
3, yeah, okay. How far back are you looking?
Not incredibly far. Just like it started like a month ago, we found out.
Mm-hmm.
So probably a month before that.
Okay. Well, there have been there's a couple of locations that you pull out that might be of interest. One of them was an old foundry. Used to make steel products until basically the ore mining in the area kind of dried up, and that space has been recently leased, although nothing has been built on the property. someone has purchased it but hasn't moved in. There is a property on the northeastern part of town. It's an old four-story, it used to be a mansion of one of the previous governors that was here. Got into a little legal debacle. Property had been seized by the state. Recently, it has been released and purchased, but no records of anyone actually moving in. Just you've got a company has purchased it. The company's name is 3 Mile, and you can put in a requisition to find out more information about them. But again, no computer, so that's all. That's going to take a bit. And the last place was actually a business development park that never really got off the ground. So they built the structures, the outside anyway, so they were never finished. Apparently contractor ran out of money and no one was able to pick that up. The rights to the property and the grounds has been recently purchased also by 3 Mile, but nothing's been done with it.
Are we knowing if 3 Mile is developing? Is it like just common knowledge that 3 Mile is getting into? Do you know, or is it this?
With that role that you made of 3, there, I'm going to say that there is enough paperwork around to see that 3 Mile Corporation has been. They buy up properties, they strip out what was there. They really want just the land under it, and they've been turning them into shopping malls, things like that.
Okay. So unlikely, but not going to rule it out.
Yep. But those three places are fairly away from like town centers, especially the factory. It's in a part of the town where there's actually very little there. The mansion itself used to be a pretty nice area, but since then there's been a lot of industry go up around it, so it's not been a prime location for people to have houses anymore. One of the reasons it stayed on the market so long, it's not in a great place now. So there you go. Nothing else kind of seems to fit unless, you know, there's some properties that like right in the middle of town, like lots of properties recently that have been purchased up. Not very private at all, and like right smack in the center of town. I mean, you know, depending on how bold this person is, any one of those could be useful too.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping if something like that would probably notice it more if there was corruption happening, if that sort of evil magic was leaking out around town. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping, you know, I'm assuming, got to go start somewhere. So,
so all of this digging around is going to take, the bulk of the day. So we're getting into Paul, I want you to just give me a straight defudge roll, or here I'll do it for you, just a straight 4D fudge roll, and you're going to end up with a 2, positive 2. Okay, so that night, nothing special. I mean, no movement in the warehouse. It's getting pretty late. This coffee shop here is actually a 24-hour place, but you know, unless you're putting out money every so often, eventually some of the wait staff and the owner is going to ask you to move along.
Yeah, I keep the coffee going. I tell them how the old lady's giving me hassle, trying to sober up as well, and I'm being a very entertaining guest, getting them on my side.
Fair enough. And it is something you do well. So
also, if necessary, I'm going to wash dishes. Dishes.
Well, if you have cash and you're continuing to buy coffee, no one's going to bother you.
I did get that 20, yeah, and okay, actually yeah. I have cash otherwise, because I am a highly paid supernatural hitman.
Yeah, you probably are quite loaded, as a matter of fact. Okay, good enough.
But I don't always carry it on me.
Yep. You're getting later into the evening, there's no motion, you're getting to the point where coffee shops actually starting to fill up with a bunch of drunks that are coming out of the local establishments to sober up before they make the trek home. Are you just going to wait it out all night?
Yeah. And I also get, a rousing round of tall tale telling going about various okay. accomplishments everybody's done or supposedly done, like the biggest fish they've caught, the biggest so on and so forth.
Okay. Actually,
I am carousing,
hit,
sir.
Yeah, you're a big hit in the drunk crowd, and it does actually make it a little difficult to keep track of what's going on at the warehouse. But around about 5 a.m., the proprietor of the Nice Dreams head shop is stumbling down. He's still got, like, he's still wearing his, like, bedrobes, and he's all bundled up. And he looks like he's probably a little drunk, too, but he's fumbling with the key on the door. He goes in. A few minutes later, he comes out with the suitcase, and he starts heading back up to his place.
As soon as I see him come down, mm-hmm. I put out the call to the beepers that everybody has.
Sure. Yeah, you use the payphone here, and okay.
And you know, if they call back, I tell them there's movement.
Oh, 5 a.m. Where are you guys at 5 a.m.? Let's find out if they call you back first. 5 a.m. Where are you guys?
I am in the middle of my room deciphering manuscripts and trying to see what the hell this weird writing Grandpa was using was.
All right, so you definitely get the buzzer then. Phone number comes across the little LED readout.
All right. Yes, I will do the thing where I respond.
Okay. Where's Lorenzo at 5 a.m. in the morning?
Well, I was going to say I was going to be doing stuff after I finished last night, but since we're skipping to the morning.
Well, what would you have been doing?
I would have tried to find the wizard and then scouted out locations. Yeah.
Ah. Well, I'm going to say it's going to take most all of the night to actually dig up what you got. I mean, going through tedious reams of paperwork that's not well filed is just, it's a tedious and long event.
They're probably just on a cot in the police station.
Okay. Roll me 40 fudge. Just straight roll.
No, yeah, honestly.
Yep. Okay, Wilbur, you call.
Ring, 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 ring. Oh.
I pick up immediately since I'm standing it right there at the phone. There's movement on the package. I'm going to follow.
Oh. Okay. I guess you'll give me a call when I'll go to the coffee shop and you can call me. Or maybe I should just sit here and wait for you to figure out where the hell the package is going. I'll just sit here.
Okay, but if you never see me again, know that I died trying. Later.
I'm sure that everyone who knew you will mourn deeply.
Already hung up.
And yet he still feels the need to voice that.
Yep.
All right, absolutely, so, I do. Paul, you go around. There are still several hangers around.
Enter stealth mode.
Because a lot of the nightclubs are still open. So, like, even at 5 a.m., there's still people, like, straggling out. Mostly the owners of the clubs, right? They closed at 2 a.m., and then they clean up, and they're heading home. So there's still people on the sidewalks. But you notice that there is a taxi cab right outside of Rendezvous Tattoos. Nice Dreams is right above it. And it's sitting waiting.
Uncaring. About whether it's, you know, on whether it's got its light on saying I can approach or not, because I'm not even sure a taxi cab in Alaska would even have that. I proceed and go over to it because, you know, I got a little bit of liquor on my breath. I make sure there's a little bit of liquor on my breath, even though it's been hours since I've actually drank. You know, swish a little bit, spit it out, go over, tap on the glass of the driver.
Yeah, he rolls down the window and says, "Hey, Mac, I got a I already got a fare. We're heading to the marina. You're welcome to crowd in if that's where you're heading.
Hey, man, I don't mind going that way and then going someplace else. I'm not really too good on stumbling all the way home in my condition, you understand, right?
Yeah, all right. Get in. You're letting all the cold air in here. Get in.
And I get in.
Yeah, yeah. You sit.
Who's in the back seat with me?
Right now, nobody. If you wait, cabbie waits.
What
another,
we wait on?
Yeah, cabbie waits another 10 minutes, and the guy comes down the stairs. Some nice dream tattoo. He is wearing a thick black trench coat. He's got black pants, gray shirt, white collar. He's got a trilby hat on, a very, you know, anachronistic hat that he's wearing at this point. Looks good on him, though. Very thin, not emaciated thin, but kind of like, fashion model thin. Very pale skin, blonde hair, from what you can tell under the hat. He's got not sunglasses on. They look like prescription glasses, but they're tinted, greenish color. He comes up to the cab. He's got that suitcase that you saw in his left hand, and he sees that there's someone in the back seat. He just shrugs and he opens the door to the other side, and he takes a seat with you.
And it's like, hey, right, man.
So the cab starts moving.
Basically, I nod at him and doesn't seem forthcoming, so I shrug and show up and kind of look out the other
way. Hey, man, to him, and he smells your breath. He gives you a big toothy smile. His teeth are like perfect. They're perfectly white, you know, movie star flash of his teeth. And he reaches inside of his coat and he pulls out a flask and he takes a good sip of it and he hands it over to you and says, you've done a lot of traveling, right?
Yes, all over the world.
With a very heavy, like, New York, New Jersey accent, hands over his flask. I'm gonna murder this accent. It's like, yeah. Look like you could use some of this.
Yeah, what you got there? Whiskey?
Rum.
I sound interested. Rum. I pull it over, and with my hound-like nose, I take a sniff of it.
Yeah? Smells like high-quality rum. You have a special nose, right? You have
potentially not at the moment, though I could tap my trouble aspect. I am a scion of a hound.
Well, up to you. I mean, it smells like rum. I mean, there's nothing, you know, so it's like a pretty good high quality rum, dark rum.
He sees me waffling over. It's like, man, I'm kind of already enough trouble with my old lady, you know? I'm probably going to catch hell already. I've been trying to sober up at the coffee shop. I take a big yaw.
Okay, you hand the flask back.
I better not, man. I'm going to catch hell as it is.
Oh, no worries.
I already got the... and I hand it back.
Yeah, he takes it back. He'll take another sip, put it away. And he says, hey, here. He ruffles through his trench coat and pulls out a couple of yellow tabs. Yeah, this will get rid of a hangover real quick.
Oh, thank you. What are they? I take the tabs.
Yeah, just a little something. A little something.
Aspirin? They don't look like no aspirin.
No. I'm going to, you know, it'll burn that alcohol out of you real quick.
I attempt to sense his motive.
Actually, he seems to be pretty affable and, you know, he's being pretty courteous. I mean, what you're looking at are a couple of yellow tabs and a foil wrap. This is definitely not like over the counter drug type of things at all. I mean, this is This is a street drug of some sort.
All right. I'm going to shrug, take them, and do a little sleight of hand and make it look like I'm taking them.
Okay, give me a roll.
Somebody roll my guile at +3, please.
You got that, Nick? Okay, 2's good enough, you know. He's not too concerned if you take it or not, but yeah, you do. What is the reaction you give when you take it? Like, what are you feigning?
Since I was already feigning to be slightly drunk and recovering, in guessing that they're a stimulant, I perk up a little bit.
Okay.
I'm like, these work fast, yeah?
Yeah.
Start nodding my head a little bit more, looking a little more awake.
Yeah. Just a little industrial speed there. You know, cut real fine, not a big dose, just enough to take the edge off. Ah, hey, you guys have arrived at the marina. You look out the window and you see that there's a seaplane that's revved up and moving. He goes into his coat again and he pulls out a card. It's like, hey, if you need any more that or anything of recreational value, there's a buddy of mine that can hook you up in Juneau. I travel all about, so I'm not likely to be here again soon myself. Nice making your acquaintance, Mr.
Man, my friends just call me Paul.
Paul! He gives you a big winning smile again. He tips the taxi driver.
And what
well.
About you, Mr.
Oh.
And what about you, new friend?
Yeah. Just let me finish real quick. So he tips the taxi driver real well, looks back, and he gives him another. It's like, here, hey. Take my new friend Paul here wherever he needs to go. Pulls off some more bills. He says, John. They call me John around here. Gives you another winning smile.
And I hold up the card that he gave me. I hold up the card.
It's got no name on it.
John will work for my reference.
Yeah. It's just got a phone number on it. It's got nothing else. Nice card, though. Like heavy weave, little gold color to it. But just a phone number.
Thanks, John. Yep. Next time you're in town, look me up somehow. And as he's getting into the plane, mm-hmm. I take note of any, you know, the serial numbers on the yep. plane and such. Yep.
Very visible. Seaplanes like this, they're all on the tail fin.
And I'm guessing it's a rented flight. There's a pilot already yep. in it
yep.
and such.
Yep. As soon as he boards, it starts moving out. So your cabbie's like, so where to?
Is the Hunter's Lodge near a residential area by any chance?
There are some houses around it, sure.
I mean, Paul's not afraid of a mile walk or anything, so he gives a address for a street. For a house that's, you know, relatively close to Hunter's Lodge. And once the taxi drives away, he starts hoofing it to the Hunter's Lodge.
Okay. Hunter's is, it's not always open to the public, but it's always open to those who are in the know.
Yep. And Paul comes in. Once he's in, he gets a pad of paper, starts writing down notes of, so he doesn't have to completely trust his memory. He puts the two pills next to it, the card, writes down the seaplane that was rented, the serial number, description of the gentleman, the green tinted glasses, the East Coast, Northeast Coast accent, perhaps metropolitan somehow, New York, Jersey, somewhere around there, possibly even Boston, but he doubts it because, you know, there's a strict divide in Boston, whether they're dropping their ages or not. He starts going through all his notes, making sure he's got everything, because he is going to have to sleep sooner or later. Coffee, no matter if he's had three pots of coffee or not. Goes to the bathroom, because he's been holding that for a while. He was ready to play to authenticity for a drunkard taking a whiz at the wall, but didn't have to come to that.
He's a method actor, but... What do you do with all this information?
So he puts another call out to the pagers. And who's kind of contracted Paul at the moment? Just the police department or it's the council?
Council.
He's kind of making up a small report to head up to the to deliver to the council. And he's putting that in the channels for what he's found so far.
Okay.
At this point, probably the LT would probably remain contacted anyway.
That's fine. If you sent a message out on the buzzard so you know to call Hunters, so you'll get a call.
Hunters. Hunter is kind of the middleman for delivering these reports too. Yep. This is, you know, just contingency on the off chance something happens to Paul, because Paul's strangely careful that way.
All right, so Lorenzo, sounds like you want to call. So, ring, ring. Hunter brings over the phone to you, Paul.
I got more leads. It can wait till the morning, but I thought I'd keep you appraised unless you want to track them down now.
It is the morning.
Yeah, this happened at 5 a.m.
Yeah, it's at least 6 by now.
Yep.
Oh, la-di-da. Somebody's on West Coast time, not Greenwich Median. Not how nice of you. But anyway, I'll give you the a detailed debriefing once I next see you. Cool?
Okay. Why'd you call?
Hey, you're heading this, not me.
Well, if you're not going to give me a briefing, you shouldn't have called me.
Hey, I said I'd give it to you in person. You know the phone's not always secure.
So I'm going to come around now then?
If you want.
All right, then. See you soon.
I'll be here. And Paul, for the next 15 minutes or so, is taking a power nap.
Yes.
Just he can doze just kind of like how a cat or a dog could. Just sit down. Lean his head back, tilt a hat over his eyes, and apparently doze, and then come completely alert at the nearest sound.
Yes, you know, when the nearest sound comes. Will be Lorenzo arriving, with or without Wilbur. Picking up Wilbur.
He lives at Hunter's Lodge, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's yes. Right. You do. Yep.
Yeah. I don't think I get. Or at least
you're probably asleep when Paul came in, I would assume, at this time of the morning.
I don't think that he called to tell me that, yes, he had succeeded and he's still alive. I think he's still in dangerous, deathly peril. So I'm still awake, though.
Okay.
Hey, you got the buzz again, too, you know.
Oh, saying all clear?
No, you got the buzz saying that a phone number from the Hunter's Lodge is calling you. You're like, Oh, well,
I guess I'll just go over and say, right, and bother him so he doesn't get his 15 minutes worth of sleep.
Yeah. Good enough. All right. So let's see. Everybody's there.
All right. Did you look into his eyes?
This guy? Hell no. People get scared and intimidated when I look into their eyes as I try to meet gaze with Mr. Watley.
Yeah, I'm not meeting your gaze, but that's... So, did you even try?
No, because okay. I got a cover to maintain.
Well, normally...
Also, I think this was a middleman.
Well, normally... people meet eyes. Like, it's normal to look into the eyes of the person you're talking with, unless you're a practitioner. It could have had some valuable information.
Well, luckily, I was sitting next to, side by side by him in a cab, so I didn't necessarily have to do that.
Could have told us the information.
Anyway, I'm not sure. Oh, yeah,
just,
yeah.
Just something to think about.
How about you
meet
my eyes right now and see if you want to meet the... You want to look into my eyes? Let's do it. I'll throw down with the sexy bedroom eyes if you want.
You, sir, are such a fool that sometimes I wonder how you've managed to make it this far.
You, sir, are making a lot of assumptions and going into appearances which you should not. I'm surprised you're still alive.
Yeah. I don't understand. So, tall, white, blonde hair.
Did I get a creepo vibe from this guy?
He was being surprisingly affable to you.
Also, this guy didn't give me the same jitters that you do, Mr. Watley. Plus, I throw down the two street drug pills. I do believe this gentleman might have been a pusher of a different sort. On the other hand, I got the number for the local guy, and I put the phone number with the card with the phone number onto the table. So, like I was saying, I believe he was merely a middleman.
Could be. Could be not. The eyes thing would have told us one way or another, but it's a... Yeah.
The eyes thing would have also let him know I was a descendant of Fenrir themselves and not to be trusted, so...
They wouldn't...
Sure, let me let the guy...
A practitioner is not going to stare you in the eyes. Just, they're not going to look into the soul gaze a rando.
Oh, are you mentioning that he was wearing the funky glasses? Because you actually never could see his eyes.
I did, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so that would...
Does green prescription lenses say anything to the resident wizard? That might be a little bit more esoteric than Paul would know offhand.
All right. Does it say anything to me, GM? Because it doesn't say to me anything to Nick.
Yeah. I mean, colored lenses. I mean, can sometimes be used to just need to hide something that you don't want seen. Like if you've got some oddity about, like a mundane could pick up about your eyes, even if it was like really disquieting to look at a person with like strange eyes. You know, it would definitely hide that.
Yeah.
Especially if they were dark enough that, you know, he couldn't even see the guy's actual eyes. So,
yeah, that would be an interesting thing that would prove. So maybe he was for real.
He also sounded like he was from the West Coast, East Coast, much like yourself, Mr. Watley.
Yeah.
It's a small world. Lorenzo, you're there now. You can butt in whenever you want.
Okay.
So it's a small world, after all.
So I can ask him. But he left the area immediately, so he's not... So these vials are being made here to go national?
Or, I mean, if he's... Was it a puddle jumper?
Yeah, it was a puddle jumper. Those things do not have a lot of range.
Okay. Yeah. So he was more likely going to the source. He was going to collect.
Also, I did get the serial number, so I know our Mr. Lorenzo here likes to do a little bit of sleuthing and finding out paper trails. Here's a prime target for you to do that with.
Yeah.
I know this guy by the name of Jack Dalton.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dear old Jack.
Okay. Also, I have the location of some possibilities around town I'd like to investigate with you. I pointed Wilbur. I guess you'll probably be needing to get some sleep at some point there, Paul.
Sadly, I too was up all night. I was hoping to see if something went awry and that our friend, our companion, would need some additional help. So I too will need some sleep.
But I like your Freudian slip there. You called me friend.
Indeed.
Don't try to hide. Come here, man. Give me a hug.
I look Paul at
just
him.
Holds his arms open. Paul's like, come on, come on.
So the nature, so there's a very good chance he's going back to wherever he gets it from. Well, I guess it's time for me to make my call. And, yeah.
So who are you calling?
I am calling the warden.
Okay.
That drunkard
is enough.
Are you waiting for a better time? Or are you calling?
No, I'm calling him right now.
Okay.
Wow.
Yep. Because I am I'm a member in firm standing with the White Council. And the White Council.
Who made the warden?
Also, the blame could easily be shifted to you.
Me. He's my guy.
Okay. Good. Then you can pick this up then. So you get a call at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm. It takes a while to be answered. I can't remember if I was doing any kind of voice or anything for it. Yes?
This is Watley. We have, I have found something that falls underneath your purview, sir.
Good.
Not so much.
Fine. Something with better meat then.
Yes, indeed. Shall I come to your place, sir?
Yeah, give me an hour and then come by.
Excellent news. I shall be with bells on. Goodbye. And then I'll let the hour elapse and I'll show up.
Okay.
Lorenzo was going to get the reverse phone locked and put in a request for where the seaplane was going to get the flight plan for the seaplane.
Okay. The seaplane was going to a place called Kennicott. The only thing, it is an island out in the chain, and the only thing of interest out there is
bad guys' headquarters.
An abandoned mining camp.
This wasn't the place that we had that first adventure, is it? Or?
No, it is not. No.
Okay.
That was a military base.
There's some chain of some island somewhere along the middle of nowhere. There's so many middle of nowhere islands.
There's really nothing else on Kennicott. There is a population of between 2,000 and 3,000 that essentially is used as hunting and tribal area. But even that is sparse at best. The only real industry there was at one time there was this copper mine. But that is where the seaplane was filed to land. It is occasionally a good hunting destination.
Well,
first look up on that phone number. It is a pager. So it's going to take a little bit for them to get the paperwork on who the pager belongs to, but there's no address attached to it.
And I'll start putting through the paperwork for getting a flight out to connect up through the police department.
Oh, that's easy enough. The police department has their own fleet of puddle jumpers. So, I mean, you can just requisition a plane with a pilot if needed.
Cool. At some point when we have the PCs together to do that, yep.
Yep. All right. Paul is some sleep, I think.
Yep, Paul's getting some sleep. Also, it is of note that Paul's ability, I mean, he doesn't make it a secret that he travels all over, but he never uses a plane to do so. So if you wanted him to just get you there, he could do it.
Oh, yeah. You guys would have some understanding of each other's abilities through having worked together in the past. So I'm sure that's come up. All right. So do you two want to do your combo between Wilbur and the assigned representative?
I am awaiting him in his foyer. What does your foyer look like, Warden?
Oh, did he drop?
He's muted himself. He's
muted. Okay. He's
muted. Yeah. Oh, no. It's a white, empty void. Oh, no. I've opened.
There's no word picture to look at.
Oh, well. Well, the Shadow Realm it is. Well, I guess the monsters already got the Warden. We knew it was going to happen eventually.
Eventually, yes.
Yes. Well.
Huh? Hmm. All right.
I guess he decides that I need to cool my heels.
Yes. You need to wait for him to finish.
Okay.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm in your foyer.
Charles Henderson is the name I gave to him.
I'm in the foyer of someone, a man who I do not know by Charles Henderson, I'm sure.
Where would he be? The Wardens don't get huge.
No, but they typically have other income besides just, I'm a Warden.
Oh. What was the name? Do you have a link to the... You never pinned the link to the Word doc we created.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I did not. See if I can find it while you doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh. What it's going to be is it's going to be one of the, and you probably know this because it's actually one of the places rented out by, I think we believe, the Red Quarter in the area.
Yeah.
So he actually lives in one of the places that they're basically rented to him by the Red Quarter.
God.
It's a nice place. It's a really nice place then. Yeah.
So we're not talking pallets or anything, but it is a completely separate house from other places and that. So yeah.
Yep.
And he eventually opens a door in a rather well-to-do looking. He's in full of pajamas and dressing coat. He's not actually even bothered getting fully dressed for you.
That's what I like to see.
Yeah.
Wilbur will put on his best courtly manner and say, rise and say, good morning, sir. I do apologize for waking you.
Yes, it's coming, Wakely, coming.
Yes.
You've been in here before, so it's not like you need to.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Across the threshold.
Of course, nothing more that makes me feel more comfortable than coming into a warden's parlor.
Yes.
Yes. Well... in the midst of our investigation for the council for the recent spate of unfortunate incidents, sir, come across a disturbing possibility that one of the wise is the culprit that lies behind these incidents.
Oh, isn't you have any more details than that?
Yes, apparently... It is an Eastern man with, and someone from New York or something of the like. Blonde hair, dr- dresses rather snazzily with green prescription glasses. Here is one of the vials he is having a glassblower make underneath his direction. Apparently, the glassblower has made another piece of glasswork for his own private personal use with this pattern of this particular type of clay that he has ordered, sir.
Interesting. He does get you a glass of orange juice, doesn't he, Jasper? But he does get you one.
I hold it with a death grip in one hand. Yeah.
You can, there's a table you can put it on. We're sitting, so I still, we're sitting at the kitchen table, so you can put it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not actually asking if you want it. Yeah. takes the vial and looks at it. Interesting. I'll have to see if we have any information from that end of people operating like this. Mm-hmm. Do you have any gauge of what this man is like?
No, apparently an affable sort who is, well, pushing these upon random happenstance. He might not be one of the wise. He might be simply a middleman for one. But someone with intelligence is directing this. So likely someone who has grown up within our schools, which is a disturbing possibility, sir. For no one goes as bad as the wise when they go bad.
Quickly, Simeon, what are you trying to get from the scene?
I am trying to notify the warden that, hey, there might be a potential bad guy.
Are you expecting him to do something? Because I'm not 100% sure what he would be doing at this moment, other than just sort of maybe putting in a request for, oh, have you heard anything about this?
No, I am not expecting anything from this scene besides there's someone around here practicing outsider magic, and it's not Wilbur Waitley. Is being a good boy and reporting in all the information and is being very helpful.
Good, Waitley. Very good. Keep on top of this, and let me know if you do manage to track him down. I'll put out some quest for information of my end and see if anything turns up.
Indeed, sir.
Yes, but keep working with these people to see what you can find out.
Yes, if we do find this nefarious evildoer's home, perhaps you should take a personal hand in it, sir?
Yes, if there is...
Would be his duty.
If there is certainly that dangerous scale magic around, then yes, definitely I will be quiet to go in and have a look at that. You can tell that, you know, he's not all that interested in doing as well.
Yep.
He's not incredibly jumping up and down to do his duty, but, you know, he must do these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, perhaps you have dealt with such fiends in the past. Is there any advice you could give me?
Probably going off on long, rambling tales worse than what Paul does.
Oh, God, no.
Too long, didn't read. Kill him on sight.
Please, no.
It boils down to don't look him in the eyes and always have a fireball handy.
All right. Well, after I've managed to cover my own ass, I will...
Did you have something, Bert?
I'm going to message you something.
Okay.
Who was your master, Miss Warden? Perhaps my family know him.
I've not generated that much backstory yet.
Sir, you definitely don't know them. Alas. Sad inside. So, how did you end up in Juneau, Alaska?
Well, as a warden, of course, we get a I was sent here to keep an eye on local practitioners and the comings and goings of magic here.
Perhaps do you know a bookshop that I might have entry onto that would, or a local gathering point for the what little talent does exist here?
You should already have access to my decks. If there is something I've forgotten to pass on to you, let me know. That said, you know, a lot of us contacts are caught. So, yeah.
Excellent news.
Just so you both know, other than the heavyweights that the council keeps track of, most small-time practitioners are very little power practitioners in this area, are most all diviners. They're like crystal magic healers and seers sort of thing.
I think we don't have the ARPANET yet to tap into either.
Yes, I was just hoping.
So I can't say, oh, you go talk to the ARPANET contacts because we don't have one. But no, if there's like the main contacts and stuff that Charles will know, they probably would have really told about any of this. Oh, yeah, you go here and tell these people and they'll help you pick up stuff. It's not like keeping anything in particular.
Yeah, I was just trying to.
He just doesn't trust you in the slightest. Yeah.
What? Wow. I'm being ultra trustworthy. I don't know.
Hey, if he thought you actually up to something, he would have killed you by now. So obviously, you're fine.
That doesn't make me feel better. Not even in the slightest.
Yes. If you do come across something, just as you know, no doubt, magic wouldn't have any effect on them. So. Be careful.
Of course. Perhaps it might be worth looking into the young potheads. Smoking apparatus.
He blinks at you for a moment. Of course.
Of course. I will take care of it, sir. No problem. Always happy to help the council. I will smile and anything else for me as I go, sir?
Just always keep an eye out for things. Never heard of it.
Of course. Of course, sir.
Thank you for telling me about this.
Oh, yes. I was very happy to notify you. Yes. Bye. as I exit, I go, fucking drunk. What the hell?
I'm noticing on the character description for this that I put down Londo Mollari from Babylon 5. kind of model. Okay, so there you go. You have spoken to your authority in the area. Mm-hmm. We'll go ahead and let's wrap up for the night here. So Yay. You've got some leads. There is this abandoned copper mine that the plane is going out to. You have a phone number of sorts that you can take a look at.
Yay! We've advanced the plot, someone. Yay!
And I just sent a message to Bert.
You're welcome.
Screw over the plot.
Yay!
Yay!
Yep. Cool. All right, then.
Bert has a bit of... bookkeeping. I'm thinking of taking the aspect Refuge in Audacity.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and put that on the screen.
Bert, are the pills worth writing down as a clue?
You could easily check them out. They're exactly what the guy said they were. It's just a low dose of speed.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, just pass them on to the local drug area of the police and let them deal with it.
Yeah, there's a nice... or if Lorenzo needs to, show that he's doing actual police work with results to other people, he's got a nice drug bust right there.
The fire department can tell you I'm getting results.
Indeed so. All right. Well, thank you for running, Bert. Thanks, everybody, for playing.
Yep. At some point, outside of our normal schedule, I'd like to get some people together to do a couple of scenes with the powers. Kind of clue into what's going on in the background as they're pushing you guys around as pawns.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will be happy to play my bishop. So.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us tonight.
And I will be happy to figure out a name for Chief Werebear.
Yes. There you go.
Yep.
All right, guys. All right. Have a good night.
Night.
Yep. Bye.